right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, January 22nd, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Good morning, peoples. It is sunny here. Actually, it's really nice. I was just telling my friend yesterday how I was reading about vitamin D deficiency. I've told you guys before that I know for a fact I get that seasonal affective disorder here pretty horribly in the wintertime, because in upstate New York, we probably go from, I'd say October to maybe the end of April, beginning of May with no sun. And it hits me hard. Years ago, I never knew about seasonal affective disorder, but did any of us? Then we learned about it, but then I really started reading about vitamin D3 and all the things it does for your body. And I have to tell you, absolutely, like half of the things I bitch and complain about, the aches and pains and the feeling like crap. You know, honestly, if you go through and you read a list of all the symptoms of a lack of vitamin D, you'd be like, holy shit. Just between the aches and pains, the crabbiness, the lack of energy, the allergies. They even show that vitamin D helps elasticity in the lungs, and it's good for allergies and autoimmune. It's good for your immune system, which we discovered that years back. My daughter first was in preschool after, being here by herself. She started getting sick all the time, of course, being put into the pit of whatever you want to call it, the cesspool pit of breeding bacteria and viruses, so-called preschool. And I started reading, and of course we do vitamin C, and that didn't help much. So I started reading about D3. We started doing that on a daily basis, and she's been sick one time since preschool. So I would stand by it right and left. But I dug in last night. My friend that doesn't agree with me on anything, was arguing about the need to take D3 and D2 because he doesn't think so. I was like, well, of course the sun is better, but in a place like this where you couldn't even pay for sun, you might want a plan B. And the D3... I don't want to call it synthetic, but the D3 manufactured vitamin, of course, I do chewables too. But then I can make sure that everyone in the household gets them. But the D3 was, trying to remember how it was spelled. Chlorophyllol, something like that. And it was made with lichen. Now, is it lichen moss? Pretty sure it is. Lichen, let's look at that. We're going to have some health stuff to look at today that I found very disturbing yesterday. But I healed my lichen. Yes, lichen. Oh, lichen. It's that stuff that grows on trees and rocks. I've seen this in the woods. So it's not quite algae, I don't think. It's like that sea blue stuff that's growing on rocks in the woods. Well, that's pretty neat. But it's got calcium in it and stuff, so you always want to take calcium with your vitamin D because it helps your absorption. Something else I was reading, too, magnesium. If you go through magnesium deficiency symptoms, you'd be like, holy shit, I think I need to go take some magnesium. A lot of muscle aches and stuff there. I don't know. I just think that a lot of us work really hard and are way too busy to sometimes worry about ourselves till you start to feel like you're dying. And then you're like, oh, no, I'm dying. I got to stop it somehow. And when you do the research, you discover that, oh, you weren't really dying. It was just a simple vitamin deficiency. It happens to me a lot. All right, hold on. We're going to see if I can get chat loaded. Oh, big group yawn. That's how I feel today. I actually got up and I went to have some coffee. I waved the bus off and I just dropped a lichen. Lichen! Oh, come on. So the lichen picture did not give me a lichen picture. Damn it. Oh, hold on. We'll get a better Lincoln picture. Anyway, so I wave the bus off, turn around, walk back inside, and I never even made it to the coffee maker. I just did not pass go. I headed straight for the couch. I saw a fuzzy warm blanket and a kitty cat there, and I said, you know what? 10 minutes. You know how that goes. My husband comes in, he's like, Joel, you got 10 minutes. I'm like, no, 10 minutes. So, of course, here. Now try that one. Come on, it doesn't even show here. Boop, 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 boop. There, you can get it yourself. I put two dots. So I laid for a few more minutes. Then I got up and I poured coffee. By that time, it was 9:59, 9:57. 9:57 while I poured the coffee, and I was like, nah. All right. By the time I get downstairs, I get in my clothes for out here because I don't know. My inside clothes and my out here clothes are different because out here it smells like cigarette smoke. I need a smoking jacket for out here. So I change. I come out here. I'm trying to log into Skype and I must have mistyped. I'm like, oh no. So when I finally got in and it picked up, it literally played like the doo 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 doo. That's all I heard. So that was kind of pretty close. Sorry for my morning singing with a stuffed up nose and about two sips of coffee in me. All right. So, how mad do you guys want me to get today? So I'm not really sure I'm in the mood to get really mad, but I'm sure if I get going, I will. I know what I want to be really mad about, and I'm not thinking about it yet. Good old Brother Barry, as Mr. Jack Blood calls him. I don't even refer to him as a brother. He's no brother of mine. I just call him Barry. But Barry pulled a fast one on us. And anyone who has been listening to the show for a while has heard me rant and rave about this many, 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 many times. I've told you guys my thoughts, feelings, and predictions on the actual end game, like the cyborg robot takeover, hijack our bodies type stuff. And I know it sounds nuts, but you know what? As the days go forward, it doesn't really sound nuts anymore. I know. Probably 10 years ago, people still, they did think I was really crazy. They don't know. I don't think. Unless they're not paying attention, of course. But if they're paying attention, if they're literally watching what's happening in front of their eyes from all these different angles, and particularly DARPA is like the kingpin in the middle of all this, and watch Big Pharma. Watch what's happening in the medical industrial complex. And you won't think I'm nuts. So, one of the things, though, that I've talked about a lot of times is I really thought I figured out what this whole Obamacare thing was about. And this was, back when they first were yapping about this. And that was to get all your electronic records into a database. So then, we're a corporatocracy now. So then, that expensive line item on the budget at a public company, which most of them are, all traded on the stock market. Always got to keep those investors happy, remember? That line item that reads R&D for 2015, $10 million can, oh, miraculously be erased because once your medical records are collected and they're all electronic, they can be put into a database, which means they can be bag tagged and sorted and chopped and diced and filleted and, any type of way you want to cut it. We could do anything with data once it's in a database. Trust me. I mean, that's the type of stuff that I do. That's my thing. Databasing and back-ending and building applications out of them. I mean, that's UCY's website. That's a big database application. Once you got it in a database, you could do anything with the data. So the electronic health records isn't to, oh, make sure that if you're on vacation and you have an accident 100 miles or 1,000 miles away from home, that the emergency room doctor knows that you're allergic to penicillin. Trust me. That is not, for as much as he wants you to believe it, as he then gives it to you with a smile, that is not why he wants you in the medical electronic records database. Now, I also talked about, I was good friends with my last, oh God, was it two or three doctors? At least the last two. Maybe the third one. She was very nice. She was an older lady and she broke her hip. She was having some really hard problems. But the two doctors that I had getting out of college, and then the one I had to find when I moved here, I kept my one in Buffalo for probably 4 years after I moved up this way. I moved more east. And it was hard because anytime I had to go, it was like an hour trip. And in the winter, that sucked. But she was a really great doctor. She was my age. I mean, I first started to go see her when she first got out of medical school, you know? So, I mean, I was kind of like an experiment. But she was really good because she always listened and I had all these freaky health problems. And I mean, we can talk about this. I know I've talked about it. I've had this 10, 15, 20-year journey of getting progressively sicker and then having to discover what was wrong with me. And I came to the conclusions. And I mean, this is a long process, long before I ever found any of this stuff. But it absolutely is my food. It absolutely was adrenal failure and leaky gut syndrome, and I had all kinds of diagnosed autoimmune diseases, and they're like, we don't know where any of this is coming from. My hair all started falling out, and it was insane. I'm like, where did these come from? I'd been a healthy person before that, and I'm certain it had something to do with antibiotics because they used to over prescribe those to me. Every time I was sick, I would get antibiotics. But also is reading like lack of vitamin D and lack of absorption of all these vitamins, which happens eating GMO foods, which happens having leaky gut, which happens eating processed foods that then coat your intestines so you're not properly absorbing nutrients. That's what happens to you. So it was a very long journey. I mean, I could write a book over all my experimentation and discovery that I did on myself long before. That's why when I read this stuff now, I absolutely believe it because I've lived this. And lots and lots and lots of people that I have now since met in the last 4 years in doing this have all had the same horrible journey that I have to get here. And nobody could help you. No doctor knew what was wrong, and all they wanted to do was give you more drugs. Didn't make you any better. Anyway, I'm gonna get off that. It's kind of a little side, well, not really sidetracky, but it's not. I didn't want to talk about me. I want to talk about Billy Gates and this coming insanity. So, when I had that great doctor though, and the doctor after, actually, yeah, she was the one here in Rochester. She was really great. And she was also my age, but I was 20 years older, and she had two little girls about the same age as my daughter. So we had a lot in common. She was really great too. But you know what? They confided in me. I mean, we used to talk very normal person-y. You know what I mean? Not like a doctor-patient relationship. We had a friendship on top of it all, and they knew what I did for a living. They knew that I worked on networks and built, you know, networks and did internet and had all kinds of knowledge. So both of them had come to me. They were sole practitioners. They both had their own practice. And they had been mandated by the federal government to get into the electronic medical health records. And at the time, now I've seen back a few years ago when I really started to dig into it for, you know, my doctor. And I mean, we're talking probably 5, 7 years ago. Things had changed because instead of having the doctors do it on their own, as an individual small business would do, you know, they don't even have an IT staff. If they're lucky, She's got a secretary. You know what I mean? Maybe she's got a nurse, but not if she's just starting out. It's like any other small business. And so one thing my doctor said to me, she's like, you know, I didn't sign up for this. She's like, I didn't go through all these years of medical school to then be told I need a small business degree. She says, I just want to help people. I don't want to be running this, you know, I mean, all this crazy, it was just too much. And I, for both of them, they both left practice. It was just too much. My first doctor, she actually got a nice cushy job working for an insurance company. She left practice. And my second doctor that I really loved, she went to go work for ER doing the overnight swing shift. So when she was working overnights, her husband was home, and then she could be home and be home with the kids during the day. And she did emergency trauma doctor. She was good, though. So I'm glad that she was someplace where her skills were probably very muchly needed. But anyway, they never told them that in medical school, that you'd be running your own small business if you went into private practice. And if you didn't have an IT guy and an accountant and a nurse and a secretary and all this stuff, you're gonna be doing it all by yourself. And they're like, holy shit. So what happened, and this made a lot of sense to me, is that the hospitals that the doctors were affiliated with rolled out, and you know, it was probably a company like the company that I worked for that did I mean, we did network installations for all the different verticals for, you know, commercial, state, local, healthcare, banking, federal. You know what I mean? I mean, we did all the and anything to do with networking or internet or wireless. You know, that's what you do. You call someone and you go, hey, I need you to come give me a price on what it's going to take to put wireless in my entire hospital. That's how it happened. We did voice too. So we did phone systems. You know, I got 10,000 employees and our phone system's dying and we need a new one, stat. So the hospitals hired someone. There are all kinds of requirements through the feds for what their electronic health records program was, but this has been ongoing for a lot of years. So, anyway, long story short, I was just reading over the last few months that they finally put a final deadline on this electronic health records. It's been extended and extended and extended. And they're like, you know, I remember too, my one doctor, she's like, well, it's not really a big deal because they gave us another extension. Because it was just too hard for all these little single doctor mom and pop shops, you know, where they just used to take their file and scribble the diagnoses. Now all of a sudden, everything's electronicized. Look at the pediatrician. What they've been doing since the beginning is all of the doctors had notebook computers and they had a piece of software that was like your electronic health file, right? So it would go in, have your name, have all your stats, have all your visits and tabs, bing, 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 you know, your weight, your blood numbers, whatever. And that's kind of cool. That is kind of cool. But on the flip side, remember, you could be sliced and diced and compared and, you know, put into any type of statistic database, they could have dashboards for all of the administrators looking at that data. Kind of like the NSA, it's metadata. So, Obama starts talking during the State of the Union, which, by the way, I still have not watched. I gotta force myself, it makes me so sick. I think I need to have a 22-ouncer to go along with that one. Maybe I can convince one of my friends to do a State of the Union drinking game with me. I know I posted the rules on my before the first cup or no, actually I think it was behind the curtain. There was some website had posted rules on how to play the State of the Union drinking game. Would be kind of fun. I mean, anything that's a drinking game is fun if you're in the mood. But I do still need to read it. But as I or read it, well, you know what? Actually, I did. Speaking of reading it, hold on. I did that before I went upstairs yesterday. State of the Union text. Read Obama's full remarks And I didn't. It was what I did like right before I went upstairs yesterday. It goes on forever and ever and ever. But here, I will share this with you. I'll drop it in chat. So if anyone really feels studious, go for it. There you go. I will check it out though over the next day or two when I get a second to sit back and decide I want to dig my eyes or my ears out. I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna listen to it. He's just sometimes, oh, when I hear him speak, it just makes my skin crawl. I can't deal with it. So, but I did catch the news. And part of the news that I caught was apparently this new plan that Obama was talking about in the State of the Union. I haven't seen anyone much talk about this. This is actually out of one of my science magazines. And there's a couple scary things that have come out of my science magazines recently. All right. Here we go. Actually, this is out of IO9. And IO9, though they do like tech, high tech stuff, there have been a few times where I've sworn them off. I'm never reading them again because sometimes they're really lefty, like brainwashed, drooling in front of the TV, dumb fucking American, where when they should not touch politics. That's all I gotta say. They're good for like cool new inventions or cool new tech that, of course, is the consumerist in me goes, oh, look how neat. But the realist in me goes, oh, look at we're gonna be enslaved. But, it's good for keeping up on it. All right, guys. So let's read this because I was beyond disturbed. Everything I've been telling you, everything I've been postulating, right after Sandy Hook, which, by the way, did you guys see that not only did they knock the school down, but they just voted yesterday 10-0. They're now knocking down Lanza's house. Sandy Hook was important because after Sandy Hook, New York State had the knee-jerk reaction for the SAFE Act, and the feds came out, and we aired it that day. Obama giving his 35 executive actions on gun control. And one of those happened to be to put the psychiatrists in the chair to be able to make decisions whether or not you have mental stability. Remember that. But in order to do that, he wanted to get rid of those pesky HIPAA laws. Do you remember me mentioning that? And I know all about HIPAA because when the HIPAA compliance laws passed, that was money falling from the sky for a reseller who installed networks and software and phone systems because all your records now had to be HIPAA compliant. So I distinctly remember the HIPAA. When it went through, I think it was like 2003. It was a very big thing. We made lots of money that year. So when Barry wanted to get rid of the HIPAA laws, that of course piqued my interest immensely. And everything that we know about the NSA and the spying and the police state, I mean, how much freaking easier can it be for them to track what we do, where we go, what we eat? Remember, once they've made your medical records where you don't have to have a modicum of privacy on it, they can have a privacy policy, kind of generic, like on a website. But with a HIPAA law, like literally your spouse needs to sign a document stating that you give them permission, you give the doctor permission to share your health information with your spouse. Legally, they cannot do that unless you have signed something giving them the authority to do so under the laws currently. I know, I wouldn't think it so. I wouldn't think that you'd have to give it to your spouse, but when I was in the hospital having my daughter and I was so sick, they had me sign all kinds of things, and one was HIPAA to make sure that he was informed for everything. Anytime you also use health insurance, you give them a temporary HIPAA authorization to go in and access your records for diagnosis and for paying the bills. but it's not like an endless open-ended signatory to give them that ability. Well, Obama, like you said, with his 53 or 35, whatever it was, after Sandy Hook, he gave that whole list. I had him in front of me. We read them. We did a whole show. We listened to it. All those executive actions. They weren't orders. It was the first time I had heard executive actions, too. I remember that. He wanted to get rid of those pesky HIPAA laws. Because currently, the only way that they could get their hands on those was with a warrant by showing probable cause. The doctors could not discuss any treatments with law enforcement unless they had a warrant, right? So they got around that. Well, I knew there was more to it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. And what I was telling you guys is once those pesky HIPAA laws are gone, that means that everything you ever shared with your doctor in confidence, patient-doctor privilege, is no longer patient-doctor privilege. If it's put in a chart somewhere, it becomes a part of the data once they put it into the database. And the database is the electronic medical health records. Now, remember, too, when we were really digging into the whole Ebola thing and the reasons behind it and all of the evilness that the big pharma was working on with these RNAi vaccines and making humans like the next level of real-time guinea pig, they were all sitting waiting to go into phase one human trials. They were all DARPA funded, remember? The companies, many of those pharmaceutical companies, went public right before the quote unquote Ebola outbreak happened. But it was considered unethical in the industry for something that new and novel that was tinkering with your DNA to be used on humans. So they only, according to morals, unless there was an emergency, could use them on primates. Well, lo and behold, there was an emergency. And lo and behold, we've had 5 or 6 human trials now, and now they're going to roll out some bigger ones. We just saw that. There were a couple more coming in Africa now. Many more people. And of course, those Africans get informed consent. Remember? We listened to that. They gave them a 28-page document to read. So they had informed consent on what was being injected into them. So we discover that also all these years, right, we've been giving our data to the machine for a long, long, long time. And we discover that even like, and we used to joke about this, but it's not a joke anymore. Your, I want to call it a coupon card, your discount card for the grocery store, your card for the pharmacy to go pick up your monthly prescription, your... I'm trying to think. I have so many of those little key cards on my keychain. It's unbelievable. Just think of all the things. Oh, you fear your gas. When I go to the gas pump, my grocery store has gas pumps. So, you know, you spend so much in groceries and then they give you a 10-cent discount for every, you know, $100 or something. You get a 10-cent a gallon discount, or maybe it's every $1,000. I don't know. But, you know, every once in a while, there's 30 cents on the thing. Yeah, it can't be $1,000. It's got to be $100. You know, there's 30 cents off a gallon on the card, and I'll be like, yeah, I'll get gas. All that is being bagged, tagged, and tracked. Your cell phone. I mean, we know that, all that metadata. So, you know, once they get access to our medical records and those HIPAA protections that kept the dirty, grubby corporate government fingers out of sifting through your data willy-nilly, wantonly, without your knowledge, is now going to become a reality if this all goes through. And I don't know. I mean, did they waive the HIPAA laws? I never saw anything beyond that. I know, though, that they want psychiatrists to be in charge of deciding whether or not you're capable to have a gun in New York as part of the SAFE Act 2, one of the things that's on that list is if you have a registered firearm, you need to go through a psychological evaluation every 5 years. And that's in the documentation from the local rotten gun groups who've been chasing this down in Albany. All right. So, remember, once your medical data is open to the corporate biogenetic pharma industry, you no longer, they no longer need to spend the R&D dollars as a line item, and that will make shareholders happy. That line item for R&D can go away because the government, and this is my postulation, but it all came true, the government was going to do what any good database holder would do. I've seen so many companies do this. This is probably back in the mid-2000s. It was a technology that came out that they called software as a service. So instead of having software installed on everyone's computers and having to maintain it and update it and upgrade it and troubleshoot it, what you did was you uploaded the database to a central location on the web with a web interface, and then you sold subscriptions to the data on a monthly basis or per user. Well, I think that's exactly what they're going to do. Electronic medical records, all in a central location. Well, like I said, we already saw that they were using some of that with the CDC to track who and what healthcare workers were getting vaccinated, right? There was that new executive order that was signed in July of 2014 in regards to quarantining, and they expanded what health issues could trigger a quarantine. And in some of those documents, as we drilled down, it went into the CDC and it went into the tracking and how they were going to be tracking healthcare workers for vaccinations and reactions. And it was in the electronic medical health records database. They have this big national database too. So this is all coming together, and it's been a lot of years of this building, but I'm telling you, the time is now. All the horror, all of it has culminated now in the story I read about what Obama was proposing in the State of the Union. I'm going to stop now because we're just going to read this before we run out of time. So I think I've given you enough background. You've listened to me long enough and for enough years to know all the work I'm talking about. So here we go. Put on a seatbelt. How Obama's, and I can't even believe it, they're calling it Precision Medicine Initiative. Now remember, we already have the Brain Project, which should get you cowering and hiding in a corner. We had the Genome Project. That Genome Project, you know what? We should have never have done it, because now we can be crazy Isle of Dr. Moreau psychopaths with no morals. And that's about what's going to happen. How Obama's Precision Medical Initiative will revolutionize healthcare. Yeah. During the State of the Union address, Obama called for a new initiative to fund precision medicine. Now remember, too, we had the prison industrial and we had the military industrial. This whole biopharma medical industrial is like this newest thing over the last few years, and they're making bank. And once they got the FDA fast-tracking working and all that crazy shit now, so nobody cares. And, oh, we are just like Pavlovian dogs every time they say pandemic. Stupid people line up to be the next ones in line. They have primed the pump on this one. And remember I told you, with all the nanotech and the crazy shit that they're doing, all they got to say is something like cure for cancer and every dumbass is going to get in line. Well, here we go. Game on. All right. Obama called for a new initiative to fund precision medicine. Why the fuck are we funding it from a federal level, by the way? You don't think that these medical assholes have made enough money especially in big pharma, especially in genetics and all this other crap. These guys make billions of dollars. Here is what is proposed with the initiative and what it could mean to your health. Colon. Barry said, quote, I want the country that eliminated polio and mapped the human genome to lead a new era of medicine, one that delivers the right treatment at the right time. In some patients with cystic fibrosis, this approach has reversed a disease once thought unstoppable. Tonight, I am launching a new precision medicine initiative to bring us closer to curing diseases like cancer and diabetes, and to give all of us access to the personalized information we need to keep ourselves and our families healthier, unquote. Yeah. Now, like I said, anyone who's been listening for a while just heard that and said, holy shit. Oh, but it gets way better. Obama was short on details, of course. He always is. They don't want you to know exactly what they're doing. But his administration will likely commit more funding to, oh, what? The same people involved in the Brain Project, yes, the National Institute of Health and other related institutes and organizations. More details are expected in the coming weeks. Now, there's lots more, but one thing I want to say is I really think that what they had to do was to get this novel new medicine, these RNAi vaccines, all these GlaxoSmithKline and I don't know. I don't even remember any of their names anymore. All these new pharmaceutical companies to look like miracle workers with the, oh my God, scary Ebola epidemic that didn't occur in the United States. But they had to get you thinking that with leaps and bounds in understanding of medicine, that we could do this. It worked. Most of them were saved, and now we could take the next step into the future with all of your health care being controlled by the medical industrial complex. They gained your trust, not your trust, but the American public's trust. Look, they cured Ebola. Look, they came up with six ways to try to treat it. Look, honey, they're doing six human trials now. I mean, shit, when I look at this, I'm like, what a fucking devious plan. And the only reason I see it is because this has been like something that I've been tweaking about for a long time. All right, a targeted approach. By precision medicine, Obama is referring to a burgeoning approach in healthcare in which biotechnology, science, and medical records are used to improve our understanding of causes of disease in order to develop individualized therapies. A fundamental goal of precision medicine is to get away from the long-standing one-size-fits-all approach. Oh, can anyone say nanotechnology? Ultimately, or freaking messing with your DNA. Guys, they mentioned genomics here later. Ultimately, it will result in more effective treatments and quicker drug development turnarounds. Oh, yay. As a multidisciplinary approach to healthcare, here comes, it will involve physicians, geneticists, pharmaceutical developers, public policy wonks, venture investors, what? And, oh, those trustable regulators like the FDA. Wow. Now tell me if that doesn't sound like a death panel if you didn't hear one. Oh my God. Physicians, geneticists, pharmaceutical developers, public policy wonks, venture investors. So shit, man, you better be making sure that you're going to make some money or that you're worth something once we spend all this time and effort in curing you. And those trustable regulators like the FDA who do so much to protect our health now and aren't connected to Monsanto. Quote, precision medicine is about being much more precise about a diagnosis to make better and more effective medicine, said, oh, look, Genentech's CMO, Hal Barron. To which Onyx Pharmaceuticals CEO Anthony Cole adds, the biology of the body and the biology of the disease can, to an extent, be predicted by the human genome, unquote. Oh, all right. Step right up for your precision medicine. The first thing we're going to need from every single one of you on Obamacare is a cheek swab so we can put your genetic material into the database and then run it through our IBM Watson computer. Remember that? They dedicated Watson, the IA machine, the one. I mean, I knew IBM was involved in the Nazis, but I was just hearing something the other day that that was what they named the software application that they used to number the Jews was Watson. I don't know if that's true, but I heard another alternative radio show host mentioning that the other day. And I hate to tell you this, guys, but this is not a healthcare plan. This is like phase 473 of trying to kill us all. This is selective breeding. This is, we're going to be able to predict 20 years from now that you might end up with some kind of cancer. It's like, if you remember Angelina Jolie, right? Well, she's got the world by the balls. Every half the men on the planet are in love with this woman. And she finds out that she's got some genetic disposition to maybe someday, 20 years from now, end up with breast cancer. So she has her boobs cut off. What? I mean, when I saw that, I was like, what the fuck? Who in their right minds, who doesn't have a disease, who obviously looked extremely healthy, had both their boobs cut off for no reason to prevent. Didn't Christina Applegate? Actually, I think she did have some breast cancer. But nothing that I ever saw that Angelina Jolie did. How could you do that? But remember, she's a New World Order puppet. So did she really even have them cut off is the question. Because the prosthetics end up looking pretty good. How would you know if you didn't see her up close and personal naked? You wouldn't. You would think she did, though. And for all these people that look up to TV and movie stars, like, you know, they're the creator and savior. I mean, some people are just so dumb. They'll believe them because they're some famous person. They have, you know, they've done all kinds of psychological experiments, too, on relationships that people form with individuals on the television and on the movies, especially if it's a series. And they discovered that lonely and depressed people don't feel so lonely and depressed when they watch reruns that they've seen many times. And they think that it's because inside your head, you formed a friendship with these people. And inside your head, you know their reactions to things and what they say. And especially when you're watching a rerun, it's predictable. See, don't think that any of this is accident, by the way. You know, they've been doing all this brain research. They know how we react to things. The television for many years has been a mind control device, right? They've been using propaganda to sell things forever. So they know how to play us. They know how to play us emotionally, mentally, physically. So none of this is accident, but this is endgame now, what they're doing. All right, I'm going to run out of time, and I don't want to do that. So let's read the rest of this. So yes, quote, the CEO of Onyx Pharmaceuticals adds, the biology of the body and the biology of disease can, to an extent, be predicted by the human genome, unquote. Indeed, a fundamental assumption of precision medicine is that genetic information and molecular diagnostics about a person's condition can be used to diagnose and treat their disease. Well, thanks to new sequencing technologies, we can analyze individual genomes, both in part and in whole, which will in turn present the optimal path to treatment. Both Barron and Coles participated in a two-day OME Precision Medicine Summit in 2013 at UC San Francisco. The event brought together 170 of the world's foremost thinkers, creators, and innovators to, quote, identify new approaches and spur action to make medicine more productive, preventative, and precise, unquote. Here's an approach to precision medicine as conceived by the University of San Francisco. And this picture, I was going to wait a day or two because I got to post this. I couldn't even believe my eyes. So at the very top, there's a circle with a gray outline of a person's head. And above it, it says you. And next to it, it says your health is linked to the health of others through genetics. Now, what else I find interesting about linking you to the health of others is this whole anti-vaxxer attack that's happening again. Of course, now we know that there's all kinds of crazy shit in these vaccines, and the RNAi vaccine goes in and manipulates things, turns switches on and off. We don't want those. But we are going to be the outlaws if we don't comply and give our bodies up to the biopharma medical complex. You watch. You're going to be drugged. I am going, and with Bill Gates' new little pill they're using right now for birth control release, but they can use it for insulin and all kinds of stuff. They're going to give you your dose of your medication, whether you like it or not. Oh, we know what area of the brain starts to light up when you start thinking thoughts that maybe aren't in line with our thinking, revolutionary thoughts. Bam! Let's give her a little bit of that. There, that'll fix it. All right, underneath the circle that says you, there's another little circle with a little generic diagram of DNA. Underneath that is another circle with a whole bunch of generic little people drawings like they have on a men's bathroom sign. And it says global community. Of course it does. March, march, march. And next to that, next to global community, it says, here we go, sharing your health data helps others and helps you. Now, I'm not crazy, people. That to me says if you want to keep your health records private, you are hurting the global community. You selfish person, you. All right, now below the global community is a circle with a generic picture of a doctor, and it even says doctor. And he's surrounded by even a bigger circle that has two other little circles in it that say science and data. So we have a doctor, we have science, and we have data. And next to that it says, we are building an interactive community sharing knowledge and data at scale. So they're going to be sharing knowledge and medical data globally. Translation. HIPAA out the fucking window. R&D line item budget for all these public biopharma medical companies. Hey, it becomes zero because you become the real-time live freaking guinea pig. They got the FDA in their pocket and on their team to fast-track it all.
telling you, those Ebola vaccines and that false emergency helped all this set the stage. It's ready to rock and roll now. They've embedded it. It's done. They got stuff through that they never thought was going to happen. They did trials on humans for nothing that was ever approved. It's now in your face. When they first started sneaking GMOs into the food in the mid-90s, none of us knew. But some of us did because we got really fucking sick. We couldn't digest proteins anymore. We got autoimmune diseases. I knew something was wrong. Now, read all about it. Read all about the symptoms that you could have after ingesting lots of GMO. Everything I had is in there. And you know why? Because it goes in and it messes with your makeup. It messes with, and I mean, who the hell knows? There's no overarching industry that watches any of that stuff. Each company that's using GMOs in their food, they have an R&D department that makes all their own shit. Flavor enhancers with nanotechnology and salad dressings. They don't share that technology. One company has their own flavor enhancers. Another one might put it in the plastic bottle instead of in the salad dressing. All right, I want to finish this. As this chart makes clear, the success of the strategy is quite dependent on genomic data. Hence, the call for data donors. Oh! To boost the cause, UC San Francisco has launched a meforyou.org as we promote the concept and educate the public. And don't forget that 23U and Me, they've been collecting DNA data for a long time. I just was reading something that data is not considered to be private. You give them license to use it in a means that the whole cell phone data could be used, like metadata, where it's not tied to you specifically. But who trusts them? Do you trust them if your name is linked to something that they're just going to erase your name and pretend they never knew it was you? Because I doubt it. Somewhere, somebody's going to keep that data for future use. All right. Treatments for subpopulations. It's important to note the precision medicine does not involve development of drugs or treatments for single individuals. No, they're just going to use you as the guinea pig. They're going to put you into that group where they've now taken the entire database of all the things you've done and your what your genes say and what you've eaten, and they're going to look at the diseases you have or the future ones you might have and then make you a control group. The National Research Council explains that precision medicine refers to, quote, the tailoring of medical treatments to the individual characteristics of each patient. It does not literally mean the creation of drugs or medical devices that are unique to a patient, but rather the ability to classify individuals into subpopulations that differ in their susceptibility to a particular disease, in the biology and or prognosis of those diseases that they may develop, or in their response to a specific treatment. Preventative or therapeutic interventions can then be concentrated on those who will benefit, sparing expense and side effects for those who will not. Oh, yes. Again, all for your benefit, making sure that we are not going to expose you to side effects for something like, oh, I don't know, the suppressed cytochrome P450 enzyme that's being caused by ingesting all of the glyphosate-laden foods and then handing you SSRIs for you to go shoot up a school. But no, we don't do a simple cheek swab to look at your CYP450 expression. We've learned about that in depth. You know why? Because they knew about it. And the pharmaceutical companies would be on the hook for billions in lawsuits. That's why. Put it another way. That was my little sideline. Put it another way. It is where pharmacogenetics and personalized medicine mean. There is a new term, pharmacogenetics. And by precision, it means in a colloquial sense, both accurate and precise. Ah, shit. I hope I'm not going to be able to finish this. It's important to note the precision medicine will be pouring through genetic profiles, molecular and cellular analyses, and medical records. Scientists will increasingly be able to identify genetic influencers on a patient's specific illness, and the use of this data will help them develop treatments. In the future, scientists will also have to consider the proteome and various microbiomes. Proteome, I believe. I don't know. I'm not even going to make it up. I know microbiomes are probably like your whole, there's a whole ecosystem of bacteria that lives in your body. Not really sure what proteomes are, but that almost made me think of probiotics. So maybe it's the lower intestinal flora that are also required for the immune system. But we'll look at that because I think I need to do more on this tomorrow. That hour went really fast. An added benefit of the precision approach is that it will allow researchers to isolate causes of drug resistance in patients who aren't responding while directing them to more promising therapies. Yeah, like you're costing us too much and you're not worth it to keep alive. I just don't see how any of this is good under Obamacare. And you know what? I'm going to have to leave it at this because we literally have 45 seconds left. We'll pick this up tomorrow because I have more. But there was an article that came out right after this in another publication that I posted, and it was titled, Eight Genes That Make Us Brainiacs. Now, guys, if there wasn't something there screaming eugenics, I don't know what does. Eight genes that make us brainiacs. You know what? Get a swab. Hey, look, this person's got the dumb gene. Maybe we should make sure when we work on that treatment for their eczema that they can't have kids. Pretty nuts, guys. It's coming, and there it goes. All right, everybody. Have an awesome Thursday. Stick around for Mr. Kevin Blanche, Mr. Chuck Ocelli. I'm live at 6 p.m. Drew and Chuck at 10 p.m. and Anti-Media Radio at 11. All right, have a happy Thursday. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Take care.